And then let us turn to Psalm 104. I'll begin reading with verse 1, Psalm 104, verse 1. And I'm going to read the whole of the psalm, which altogether is a study of God's creation and providence. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. Cover yourself with light as with a garment, who stretch out the heavens like a curtain. He lays the beams of his upper chambers in the waters, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind, who makes his angels spirits, his ministers a flame of fire. You who laid the foundations of the earth so that it should not be moved forever, you covered it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At your rebuke they fled. At the voice of your thunder they hastened away. They went up over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place which you founded for them. You have set a boundary that they may not pass over, that they may not return to cover the earth. He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their homes. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth, that wine that makes glad the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. O God, how manifold are your works! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. This great and wide sea, in which there are innumerable teeming things, living things both great and small. There the ships sail about. There is that Leviathan which you have made to play there. These all wait for you, that you may give them their food in due season, that you give them what you give them they gather in. You open your hand, they are filled with good. You hide your face, they are troubled. You take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to him. I will be glad in the Lord. May sinners be consumed from the earth, and wicked and the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. May God bless this reading from his holy word. The whole of Psalm 104 is such a delight. It's a place in the scriptures where the doctrine of creation and providence are meditated upon, and it is a total delight. The doctrine of providence is a lovely, lovely doctrine. I remember reading the book by John Flavel, The Providence of God, early on in my Christian walk, and marveling at the care and the wonder that marks this world. And that's the real comfort in divine providence. If we'll hear nothing of God and his word, if we resist his knowledge, then we're left with a world which is a world of chance consequence and no rhyme nor reason, a world of chaos, a world of absurdity. For when men think that things are important, oh, that very thought is absurd in and of itself, because if this world is a world of pure chance, where there is no order, where there is no God, then to think anything, that makes no sense whatsoever. It's like dreaming a dream at night when we wake up and we find out that there was no green giant chasing us, that was simply a phantom of our imagination. To live in this world and to understand something of the fact that God cares for this world and that He Himself sovereignly works all things after His own purposes. These are very comforting thoughts indeed. Last night it fell to my lot, and despite my weakness, to walk Sue Branson's dogs. She was gone and the kids were gone, all traveling in different directions. Even Susan and I were left. We had to walk these dogs. There's nothing lovely about the dogs, hardly, except the memory that they were created by the Lord. It's hard to really fathom that, though, with these two dogs, Jezebel and Ahab, named after two evil creatures. A biblical history, and the dogs fit their names well. But I was out walking these curs, and last night, and I was looking at the lights of the homes. Some homes had smoke coming out of the chimneys, indicating that there were either furnaces expelling their hot air or fires, perhaps, in the fireplaces. And as I crunched my feet in the light snow of the road, holding on to these dogs, musing on the life that was going on, it began to be a marvel to me, looking at these homes. Here you have a frigid landscape, snow upon the ground, the wind blowing, and yet warmth in these various houses. And then it was hard for me not to think about, why was there warmth? Well, of course, there are furnaces and these kinds of things. Well, why were there furnaces? Well, because God has given us the ability to live, to heat our homes in this frigid landscape. And it's not just that, but there are so many of us, so many homes. And how could God work out these things so that we could all have enough heat, sufficient heat unto the heating of our homes, that we would not run out? I've been musing a bit on the Alaskan escapade, where they've been trying to get heating oil to Nome, Alaska, through the ice fields of the Bering Sea. And I guess from the news, they've reached Nome yesterday, and after more than a week breaking through the seas. Even the most inhospitable parts of the earth, the Lord seems to have worked out a system whereby we people can stay alive. We can nurture ourselves using the elements of this world. And you see, as soon as you begin to meditate on things like that, and you see the sufficiency of the world, and the sufficiency of the processes of the world, then you're driven back to muse on the great care and the loveliness of the Lord. Now, they who are outside of the faith know nothing of these things. They may reap the benefits of them. For the rain falls upon the just and the unjust, and the sun shines upon the just and the unjust in this world for a season. These things will come to an end, and all men ought to be forewarned that God's kind providences will not go on forever. But at this moment, at this time, while we are alive, God's providences do bear us up all. For those who fret about how we can believe in the Lord because of the cruelties of this world, the cruelties of hurricanes and the cruel injustices of men to men. They ought better to muse on how these kind providences of God, which sustain their every breath, why and how they continue day by day to support these people and their breath when their breath is not expended in any way to show the love of God, but rather they live to rebel against the Lord. Psalm 104 then focuses just here upon how wonderfully the Lord created the world, and then how wonderfully He sustains the world. And what I like about Psalm 104 is the way it is so specific, and the way it shows that the Lord knows how the fingers of His power reach down and sustain even the cedars of Lebanon and the rock badgers as they dig for refuge, as it says in verse 18, and how He built goats for hills and hills for goats. See, all of these things are wonderfully arranged by the Lord our God. Does this not swell up in your heart a desire to praise the Lord? And indeed, both at the beginning of the psalm and at the end, that's what God's people are brought to. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, You are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty. We must praise God because of our salvation, for these things are dear. But we must also praise God for things like providence, for His care of us, for His sustaining of us. And this ought to well up in our hearts and encourage us and make us glad to be creatures of the living God. As the first part of the psalm focuses more upon the creation, but it's not just on the moment of the creation, but it fleshes things out, and indeed it gives you some input, some more information beyond the verses of Genesis 1 on how the earth was created. It speaks in verse 3 of God laying the beams of this cosmos. In other words, the beam of a house is what the house hangs on, the inner support structure of the house. Well, God uses this metaphor to speak of the universe that He made and the earth that He made. And so it says that God laid the beams for these things. And verse 5, it speaks of the foundations of the earth so that they would not be moved forever. I muse on the way, the order of the world, the way that the winds continue to blow. If you analyze the winds of the earth and along the with the latitudes, you can see certain orders to the way the winds blow and the way the earth turns. And if you ask why these things do what they do, science only goes so far, and then you're left with the fact that there seems to be a power behind these powers that support and sustain these powers. The unbeliever is always afraid that these powers are going to cease. He is afraid that that some comet is going to come out of the heavens to strike the earth, to destroy it forever. But the Lord says that He laid these foundations, and that they will not simply be destroyed. In verse 10 then, He begins talking about providence specifically, because, you know, the creation took place at the beginning. The creation set this whole world in motion, but then the sustaining of the creation after that is all related to this doctrine of providence. And so in verse 10 it says, He sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Did you ever wonder why springs continue to work? Why springs of water from the lower parts of the earth? Why the pressure? Why they're designed the way they are, and why they continue to flow up through the earth? I know on near my parents' house in near south of Syracuse, they live very close to the Onondaga Indian Reservation, and the Onondagans are not known for their sophisticated or modern culture. There's been much poverty on the reservation, and instead of seeing much organization and much construction and that sort of thing, it, just the opposite is the case. But it's well known in that area that there are a number of springs that flow on the reservation, and they have put some pipes into the ground and into the rock faces, and so out of these pipes flow this water. And for years we've seen occupants and people that live on the reservation come to these places and fill their jugs of water where they haven't had indoor plumbing indoor water supply source. And the water continues to come out of the earth. It comes out in a relatively pure form. And people, even in this modern day, are able to get this supply for themselves. Well, where did these things come from, you see? Well, the Bible says that God has set the strength of these things in the creation itself. And He sustains them as they go along. I like verse 14. He causes the grass to grow for cattle. The philosophers of this world and many of the religious people are way too sophisticated to worry about growing grass and cattle, such things, but not the Lord. The Lord loves, and you can see it in His Word, how there's a beauty associated with the complexity of creation. Grass is an amazing part of the creation. It grows very easily, very well. It seems to sustain itself in drought and after drought. And grass is the foundation of so much of life. We see these strong beasts, everything from cattle to elephants, giraffes, all kinds of creeping things, rabbits. So many creatures live on the grass and the leaves like that that grow up from the grass. And verse 14 says that the Lord causes the grass to grow. Why does the grass come up every spring? Why does it have these capacities for dormancy that it's able to sustain itself in these freezing temperatures of the north that would kill anything else, and yet the grass simply, according to the genetic codes in which the Lord has put into it, the grass simply goes dormant, and then when it gets warm, all of a sudden, almost like magic, strength returns up through the roots, and the grass begins to grow green. And even when we curse it for having to mow it, there's still a beauty there, and we enjoy it. Isn't the Lord good in all of these things, you see? Verse 14 says that this all happens that He may bring forth food from the earth, and we know that as the meat-bearing creatures, they subsist on this, and then they grow and they give us our strength, their strength themselves. Then some of the more sophisticated processes that the Lord is sovereign over: wine that makes glad the heart of man. Where did this business of fermentation come from? It's a scientific process. It's very fairly complicated. And yet it takes place in the absence of men on certain occasions. If fruit falls into a pile and it begins to ferment itself, these are the things that the Lord has made. Oils. It's amazing. What is the chemical combination that creates these things called oil that help our engines to run smoothly, to help with the complexions of our face? Amazing things. But the Lord has created these things, and then He sustains their workings. He makes them so that they operate in season and out of season. The olive trees of the Near East, they bear their oil. These things that are made up of sunshine, basically sunshine and water that falls. How does oil, you see, distinguish itself from water? And yet this is of the Lord. And it's wonderful to behold. The verse 24 is kind of a conclusive verse. After looking at all of these processes and all of the ways that the earth works, the psalmist exclaims, "O Lord, how manifold, how complex, how variegated are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions." This is a verse that's quoted in the Shorter Catechism as a scripture text proof for the doctrine of providence. In other words, the Westminster Divines looked at this verse and saw that the Lord is saying that all of the complexity, all of the processes of the earth, they all were made in God's wisdom, and they're full of the Lord and His strength and His ongoing determination to make them work. And so it brings us to a rejoicing. Now, when we think of when we think of God's providence, some people might think that this is totally outside of the realm of redemption. But we who are Christians remember that that all the things that were made in the creation were made in and through Christ. Not so much the Christ of the flesh, who became incarnate and walked amongst us, but the pre-incarnate Christ, the one who is called the eternal Logos. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a great mystery. The Trinity is a mystery. God is a mystery Himself. We cannot plumb the depths of the Godhead, nor can we plumb the depths of any one of the persons of the Godhead. And when we think of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that He has come after so much time, after the work of the creation, where John says that there was nothing made that was not made through Him. So the eternal Logos. When God the Father spoke the creation into existence, He spoke the creation into existence through this eternal Logos, through this eternal Word. This Word of great and immense power. Fully God and yet fully man. Someday to walk amongst us that we might see glory, glories of the only begotten of the Father. And so, when Christ walked amongst us, we saw the physicality of His person. And yet, we're reminded that it was through Him that all things were made that are made. And Colossians tells us that not only was He instrumental in the creation, but He's instrumental in the providence and in the sustaining of all things as they go along. So that every breath that we take, every move that we make, every bird that flies from the east to the west, our Lord Jesus said, comes to us in some way through our Lord Jesus Christ and His power. So this doctrine of providence is not distant from Christ. It is intimately related with our Lord Jesus Christ. And especially for those of us who are in the covenant of grace, who are friends of Christ, who have been adopted by the Father through the work and the ministrations of Christ. We must especially delight in these doctrines, hearing something about them and knowing something of them. Verse 31 of Psalm 104 says, "May the glory of the Lord endure forever." After singing of these things and after meditating upon them, the psalmist is brought back to the origin or the source of these things, namely the Lord Himself. "May the Lord rejoice in His works." It's asking that the Lord from His high heavens, as He would look upon this earth and all of its processes, as he would see that it has come to pass through Christ, and it has been redeemed by Christ. And that the eyes of the believers have been opened under these processes through Christ. It's like a little child who's born and he comes into the world and he learns more and more about the workings of the world. So we are little children in the Lord. We who have fallen away, we have been redeemed and our eyes have been opened. And we can see now the kingdom of the Lord. And just as we rejoice in what we see, the psalmist says that the Lord, as he looks upon all that he's made and all that he sustains, he says, may the Lord rejoice in his works. May the Lord be happy in what he has made. And I rejoice in I rejoice for what the Lord has done. And I rejoice in what the Lord sees. And I rejoice in the Lord's rejoicing as he looks upon all of these things. Verse 32 says, he looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Whatever the Lord deems proper in terms of His providence, whatever He wills, the Bible says that the Lord does whatsoever He wills amongst the host of heaven and amongst the inhabitants of the earth. He looks on the earth and it trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Why are men not more terrified of this God who holds all power? How can they live one more day outside of His love? And yet this is their position. But the psalmist says in verse 33, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. Are you glad in the Lord? Is this God your friend? Is this providence your delight? It should be. It must be. If you are a person of faith, then you must be glad in the Lord to meditate upon the wonders of God, all of these wonders. The psalmist says, then may my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. And then he says, may sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. How can there be anyone left who would turn their backs upon this kind of God? The God of the rock benchers. The God of Leviathan who swims the seas, the God of the springs, the God of the currents, the God of the winds and the birds. You see, it points out the utter impudence, the utter hatred, the utter bitterness, the utter coldness and indifference that people have toward the loveliness of God. And so it cries out, may sinners be consumed from the earth and the wicked be no more. And they will be. That will be, that prayer will come to pass. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. There's almost a literal magic when we close our eyes. It may be on a winter's night when we're out walking and our feet are crunching the snow. We see something, we begin to meditate on something like the heat of the homes. And we look around, and the more we look, the more complex the system of support is that we see that the Lord is behind. It may be that we may be looking about us, or we may be looking out into the heavens and the stars that the Lord has made. Or we may be meditating upon our salvation in Christ. The ground and the strength of why we can stand before the Lord without being consumed. But in the end, we know that all of these things have come to us from the Lord. All of these things have come to us through Christ. And all of these things are a delight and worthy of worship. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and our God, we pray that we might behold these articles of faith that might strengthen us and encourage us. We pray for that world of unbelief that thinks that strength and life comes from living separately from Thee. Oh God, let that gospel, let that concept, let that ideology be cursed. Let that ideology of death be slain. That men might see where life really comes from. The origination, the source, the power of all life. That men might see it all resides in Thee, O Lord. Let thy name, O God, be our power. In Christ we pray. Amen.